to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. What is the gospel according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4? The gospel, beloved, is embodied in these words, these holy words, written by St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We just sung about it. I don't understand it, neither do you. But we ought to thank God for it. Amen, somebody. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Believe the Scriptures. I am going to take it further with St. Paul when he said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why by the grace of God we are preaching through the book of Matthew this year. And all of last year we preached, and part of this year we preached through the book about Jesus of St. John. Dr. Walter A. Elwell, editor of the Tyndale Bible Dictionary, writes regarding the gospel, the promised birth of John the Baptist is good news, not only for his parents, but for all the people. John is sent to prepare them for Messiah's coming. John's own preaching is gospel for the same reason. The Messiah would be coming to execute judgment, a process that involves both condemnation and salvation. John's message is gospel for sinners in that they are warned of impending doom and urged to repent before the axe falls. It is gospel for the repentant in that they are promised forgiveness and membership in Messiah's community. The birth of the Savior himself is announced as good news bringing great joy. Amen, somebody. Please remain standing. Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. We're talking about Jesus, verse by verse, chapter by chapter in the book of Matthew. And we're at this section. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to expound on your holy word further regarding this serious matter of divorce and remarriage and your powerful and pointed words about it. And where we need to confess sin and repent as Christians, help us to do that. Where people who are divorced or separated but have not remarried, we pray that they would stop being selfish, get their hearts right with you, and get back together and be the husband and wife and parents that they should be. For your glory, praise, and honor, in Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Chapman said, couples looking for a quick fix for their marital woes often become frustrated, abandoning their marriage too early. You might recall I said something like this early on in this series, that many, many Christian couples don't understand and they leave their marriages too early to even benefit from the marriage. Everybody knows that there's an investment stage in everything. It's a shame when we leave too early during the tough times and we miss out on great benefits and blessings years later. But he went on to say, and thereby missing the benefits of God's timing. God's timing. God is doing something in your marriage. Let God, give God time to break you and make you and mold you instead of being a little selfish child all of your life, always wanting to have your way, and when things don't go your way, you grab your little marbles, you grab your little toys, and you say, mine, mine, like a little child. The ugliness that you see in your two-year-old, they see it in you. Chris Kroc, a radio commentator, has said repeatedly he believes that marriage is a test of your Christianity. Marriage, he believes firmly, God has provided marriage to make us better people. So give God time. Stop running like a child. Amen, somebody. Then he goes on to say, I would like to encourage couples, even those who have separated and considering divorce, to give it some time before you make that fatal decision. He says, I kind of say, give it at least 2 years as a guideline, but more than that if necessary. For people who are separated because of adultery or who are thinking about divorce, it seems like a terribly long time, but in all of life, it's a short time. And so, beloved, we have begun looking at what it means for a husband and wife to reconcile after one or the other has committed adultery. The first thing is for the offending party to come clean. If you don't come clean, it's going to be hell going forward. Come clean and confess his or her sin openly and honestly before God and to the spouse, the offended spouse, and demonstrate that they have completely turned away from the illicit, adulterous relationship, that it is done. We talked about that yesterday. If you didn't hear that part, then get the tape. Secondly, the offended party must forgive by the grace of God, and you cannot do it without the grace of God. They must forgive the wayward spouse. Forgiveness is not based on feelings or emotions. And by the way, they ought to forgive if they are Christians, whether they stay together or not. Because if you don't forgive, then it's going to kill you. You will not feel like forgiving your adulterous spouse, the spouse who has committed adultery. You're not going to feel like it. And you will want to hold their adultery against them. But the Bible commands in Ephesians 4:32, forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You don't have to if you don't want to, but if you want to be right with God, you will need to do this. Forgiveness is one thing, however, ladies and gentlemen. Forgiveness is one thing, and trust is another. And if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at how Jesus reveals the true meaning behind the law dealing with divorce. I said forgiving somebody is one thing. Trusting somebody after that is another. And that is a larger subject that by the grace of God we will deal with on tomorrow if the Lord tarries his coming and we live. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are couples out there hurting across the nation and around the globe. There are couples who are separated and are seriously contemplating divorce. And the longer they are separated, the more the devil is working, and devilish friends are working, and devilish family members are working. And before you know it, that divorce is going to come to pass when you might be dealing with their hearts about reconciling, but they'll never know it because all they're hearing is the negativity of lawyers and friends and family and even church members. So Lord, help them to follow your lead, Holy Spirit of God, and your holy word, and to do your will, what is best, and to do what is best for the kingdom, for the church, for themselves, and for their children. Help them to forgive and to reconcile, if that is possible. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you're with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your salvation from that awful place called hell because of your sin. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment, an awful punishment for sin forever. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus said that. Yes, the lowly and loving one, Jesus said that. Hell is an awful place. You do not want to go to hell. It is my job to not only share with you the good news of the gospel, but to share with you the bad news. How that your soul will be condemned to hell if you don't trust Christ as Savior. And you will spend eternity in hell according to the Holy Scriptures. I didn't write that. That's God's book. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. For Jesus Christ also said the good news better than anybody else can say it in St. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Some of you who are listening to me, you're on your deathbed right now. You're in the hospital. You're down at the seniors' home. You're at a hospice, or you're sitting beside somebody who's getting ready to die. You need to be saved today. You've had life insurance all of your life. You've had house insurance. You've had car insurance. You need to get salvation insurance and assurance by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and all you have to do is believe in him. Acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. Believe on Christ and you will be saved. Pray and ask Him to save you and He will save you. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou, you, shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how about it, dear friend? Wherever you are in the world, whatever you're doing, stop for just a few minutes and pray this prayer with me, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many have done it before, and you can do it right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize now that I am a sinner and that I have broken some of your Ten Commandments. I know that I have stolen things before in my life. I know that I have lied many times in my life. I know that I have lusted after things, cars and houses and material things and people. For Jesus Christ's sake, Lord, I know that I'm guilty. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that He died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul. I call upon your name today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for His sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and that He died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our many other emails, email addresses, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.